Finally, let's pray for everyone who is in charge of something in our country, from public to private. Let's pray all for all of them that are in leadership, one way or the other in our land. Let's pray for all those who are in authority. That includes head of institutions, academic, political, you know, banking, businesses, private. Let's pray. Schools, let's pray for all those who are heads of these institutions. They are the leaders in our country. Let's pray that God will help them. God will give them strength. God will give them wisdom to do the needful. Private organizations, public organizations. Let's pray for all those who are manning them, because they determine people's life and people's future. And, you know, our children, their aunts, their colleagues, workers. Let's say, Father, thank you for all those who are in authority, head of departments, whatever level, regional, whatever they do. Father, we ask the owners of businesses, authority over them. We pray, Father, for them today that they will have strength from you. You will help them to sustain whatever they are doing and resist the influence of evil to take over in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Finally, let's lift up our hands and ask God that men and women be saved in our country. Men and women draw closer to God in our country. Men and women find the light of the gospel attractive. Let's pray that our churches will begin to spread the light of the gospel, and our men and women will be turning over to the Lord, even in their private life, and they begin to seek the Lord in our land. Thank you, Father Lord. Thank you, Father God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Can you shake somebody's hands beside you? Welcome to church. Hallelujah. Praise God. You can have your seat. Praise the Lord. Let's just cool and enjoy the Lord today. By the way, welcome to church. Let's start like this. I want to share. One of the members of this service, you're welcome. Nice to see you. One of our older persons in church came to see me. He doesn't come to see me regularly, but he just came, one of the older ones in the church, in the service. So he said, Reverend, I want to see you. So he just sat down with me and told me testimony upon testimony upon testimonies. And then he got to a point, my wife walked in, and I told my wife, sit down, listen to. Let me start like this. The person told me, he said, first of all, the prayer of agreement in church is not a joke. He said, some people just come to the service thinking they're just going to try God out. Let's see what it will do. He said, I don't only take prayer of agreement coming forward. I've seen it one or two times coming forward. But he said, you know what? I take it home. I take it to my life. He said, if two of you should agree, any two of you. He said, you know what? My son is very strict. He works with a bank in Lagos. He's still working with the bank. He said, some couple of years ago, a month ago, I'm not sure now. It's not recent. He said, he just called me from Lagos that he has been sacked from the bank. He says he should be laid up. I think something happened. They wanted to get him into some kind of CD deals, so he refused. So he said, when they told him, he said his wife, they jumped inside the car and they went to go and see them in Lagos. So when they got to Lagos, he said, can you agree? I know both of you and your wife, you are a Christian. He said, can you agree that you get your job back? Then made me smile. He said to the wife, I know you may not fully agree. This is the laughing part. Because your husband has been having all the money to sponsor the house. Now, if he doesn't have money, you may feel big a little bit. So your agreement may not be full. Did you get the gist? He said, he was just talking. He said, sometimes women like to control. So he said, you know what? I will leave you. I'm going to agree with my wife over here. I'm just going to agree that this work will be restored. I mean, he'd be sacked. So he said, first month, no restoration. Second month, third month, fourth month, fifth month. There were these people just gathered together to remove him so that they can have their way. He said, around the sixth month, they were in a meeting. And the CEO of the bank said, what's happening to this young man? Why is he not restored yet? They said, that was around 2 o'clock in the afternoon, around 1 o'clock. The man said, what now? Call him back to work. Now, they've been blocking these things at different levels. But, I mean, when the CEO announced that they should take the young man back, he said, they just called him. He was just staying at home. He's just enjoying himself, you know. They said, can you report at work? in the next 30 minutes. I said, why not? So he changed his clothes, went back to work. Now, this is deep. It gets interesting. Testimony getting very interesting now. I mean, he was telling me, he won't lie to me. Wife was there. He said, when they restored him, he took his phone and called me. And he said, hey, daddy, I've been restored. So prayer of agreement worked. Now, this is true. He said, he dropped his phone, and a few minutes later, his daughter in Djibouti called him. And he said, he thought he's going to call, she was calling him to rejoice with him about the brother. She's also working in the bank. He said, I've been laid off. So joy just arrived, followed by sadness. So he was telling me. He said, oh, I told myself, 6 months prayer of agreement work, it worked for this one too. So he said, he jumped inside the car. He went to Djibouti with his wife and got down there. And he said, hey, what's happening? He said, I think it's whether Elisha or something. He said, they just asked me to leave because something happened that is not, maybe about whether the progress or the, I'm not sure now. So she was laid off. So he said, we just saw your brother because we pray prayer of agreement. So let's just pray prayer of agreement again. He said, this thing works. So they prayed and they all left. He said, first month, second month, around 3rd month, the regional person that was over that area was about to retire on Friday from the bank. He now called her. Hello, lady, do you want your job back? He said, I won't mind. I have nothing else to do. Oh, he said, let's do something. They are going to have the AG, is it the board meeting of the bank, that you know what we are going to do? I'm going to join with, I'm going to prepare everything, get some bottles of wine. We're going to talk to the board member and see what we can do. And we'll get the CEO involved too. So he said, they just went for the meeting. And when they got to the meeting, the board meeting, he said, the man said, let them eat very well. Let them finish eating. When they are eating, we tell them, there's somebody's file over here. They need to be signed. And, you know, let's give back the job. He said, something made me laugh. He said, all these people that look big, the way they eat, they were eating with all their hands. So, while they were eating, the woman just came in with the CEO and said, hey, Joe, this woman, she's been very faithful in this bank and she's been doing something quite well. And can you just, they said, They couldn't sign, they couldn't open paper. So they said, okay, put her up. Next meeting, we will just ratify it. And then, it was cleared. Bam. So I was just looking at him. He said, we just agree. Just pray of agreement. Praise the Lord. Let's look at Matthew 18 again. The Bible says so. Let's take a look. Matthew 18, verse 19. Hallelujah. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth, concerning anything that they ask, it be done for them by my Father in heaven. Next verse. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I'm there in the midst of them. Praise the Lord. I said all that to say this morning. Let's do some prayer of agreement this morning. It just dawned on me yesterday. God said, share that testimony, and then let's pray. So if you want us to agree with you about anything, let's just bow our heads and pray. If you need to get prayer of agreement, if you want to have somebody to agree with you, I'd just like you to stand up on your feet wherever you are, and we'll just come and agree with you. Just come forward, all right? Our prayer of agreement partners, please come forward. Please come. You can come forward. I want to be prayed. Okay. Can we get our partners to come pray? Please, our partners, let's come pray. All right, please come. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. We're just going to agree together in the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. 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 Thank you, Father God. We bless you, Lord. Hallelujah. While the rest of us just take our time and let's just agree with them for the blessing of God in every way. Hallelujah. Thank you, King of Glory. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Pastor David, there's still some people. Yes. Yes, some people here. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Worship your precious holy name. Oh, hallelujah. We are grateful, Father. Bless your name. Give you glory. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus, thank you, Lord. Blessed be your name. Okay. All right. Yes, ma'am. All right. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Grateful, Lord. Thank you for. Can we all lift our hands and thank the Lord for answered prayer for our people that have been prayed for on the stage, on the front. Let's just thank the Lord. Let's appreciate God for them. Hallelujah. We are grateful, Father, for the help you have rendered us. Thank you, Lord. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' name. Secondly, something else happened when he was testifying. He told me that his daughter works in the civil service. Still there. He has several children. So he said, I think they ate some food with the children. I think, and then there was a little bit of, I don't know whether poison or something, and then they went unconscious. In fact, they wouldn't have known because the father was not at home. So I think somebody went to the house and noticed that there was no response in the house. And they called and they called and they called and they called. There was no response. So they called the father of the man to check. And they found out that nobody was responding. So they jumped over the gate into the compound. They screamed, nobody was responding. They had to break the door and find them unconscious. You know, if I think about three of them, I'm not very sure, and I was telling me. So he said they took them to a particular place. I mean, the person even knows, the person said, I would have to go to the hospital. And he said they treated two fully kind of started doing well. But I think one of the children was not just responding, was still in coma, you know, first day, second day, third day, fourth day, fifth day, sixth day. There was another bigger hospital in town. And he said, you just remember, you know, that daughter doesn't come here. She goes to another church, not too far from here. So he said, you just remember James 5, verse 14. Is anyone sick among you? So he was not responding to treatment. So he said, anyone sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. Prayer of faith will seek. Next verse, prayer of faith. So he told himself, I can't call pastor here now. She goes to a church. I also know the geo of that church. So he said, Lord, now this is where he said it. I won't say it like that. You know, he said, Lord, if this is not true, I will renounce your word. You know, it's been the word. I mean, if this is not true, the word is not true. Everything's not true. So if it's true, let's do it. So he said, he went to go and meet that geo and knocked at the door and said, geo, can we do this for this child? Hallelujah. And then the man said, of course, let's do that. So man took the bottle of oil and they marched to the hospital. He said the man should just pray, the hospital pray over the child, and then the Jew just pray over the child according to James 5. And he said, for the first time in 14 days, the baby sneezed. Praise God. And then he said, woke up. And then he said something that didn't happen. I didn't feel bad about it. I didn't feel good about it. He said, the child opened her eyes and said, what's my name? And he said, my name is no longer that. My name is this now. But he said, the parents refused to change the name. So I don't understand the rest. But I just want to show you that we can trust God. Hallelujah. When he read that to me, and I said, wow, beautiful. Praise God. Verse 14 again. He said, is anyone sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him. Anointing with oil. You know, the better way to get this done is not for the elders to call for the sick. It's for the sick to call for the elders. Did you see that? That's the best way. But in his grace and mercy, we still do that. You know, because when we call for you, you have to start trying to respond. But if you come to call, that means you have already responded within your heart to receive. Am I right? So, but the grace and mercy, sheer mercy of God, we can still do this. So, I want us to pray over those who are sick this morning. Can we just do that? Anoint you with oil. If you're sick in your body, we anoint you with oil. If you have been prayed for before, anointed with oil, you don't have to come back again because prayer of faith is working. You get through with it. But if you have not been anointed with oil and you're sick, we're going to just pray over you, anoint you with oil. We've got some elders, leaders of men and women over here that will just pray over us. Can we just close our eyes 1 or 2 minutes and let's just do this. Let's just do it. If anyone sick among you, let him call. Is there anyone? He says, is anyone sick? Thank you. Thank you, man. Anybody else? I'm waiting for you. Thank you. Thank you. Waiting for you. Anybody else? The Lord wants to make us well. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we bless you, Lord. We bless you. We give you glory. We thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. As we come forward, let's say, Father, thank you because you raised me up. He said, the prayer of faith will save the sick. The Lord will raise him up. The prayer of faith will save the sick. The Lord will raise him up. I want you to tell yourself that the prayer of faith will say, I'm believing God this morning, along with the prayer of the elders, that you will raise me up. That if there's any sin, you will forgive me. We're just going to pray over you and anoint you with oil in the name of the Lord. Thank you, Father. Prof, please join me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let's pray first. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray over your own people that you said in the book of James, is anyone sick among you? Lord, they've responded. So we pray recovery over them in the name of Jesus. We pray healing to manifest in their bodies in the name of Jesus. Satan will resist you. You are the author of sickness and disease. We stand against you in the name of Jesus. And in that name, recovery is happening for them. In Jesus' name we pray. As you stand over there, they're just going to anoint you with oil in the name of the Lord. Just. All right. Okay. Let me get some here too. You can just take them from there. Just anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. Lord, in the name of Jesus, anoint your daughter with oil in Jesus' name. Just give thanks with your sin. Lord, anoint your son with oil in the name of Jesus, and I speak recovery. Thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Anoint your daughter with oil in the name of Jesus, and I speak healing in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. 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 Can we all lift up our hands? Let's thank the Lord. Come. I am the Lord that healed. Let's just sing it, whether you are sick or not. Let's just sing it. My healer, you sent your word and healed my disease. Let's affirm our faith one more time. You are the Lord. Say to yourself,
you are the Lord, my healer. You sent your word.
You sent your word.
You healed
my disease.
You are the Lord.
You are the Lord.
One more time. You are the Lord.
You are the Lord, my healer.
again. I just had in my spirit that as we talk about dealing with guilt and past mistakes, and let's sit down. Thank you. Let's look at 1 John 1. 1 John 1, verse 7. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. I'd like you to see that last part of the verse. If we walk in the light we have, all of us have different levels of light. But it's the light of the Lord, the light of his word. He said, if we walk in that light as God is in the light of his word, we have fellowship with the Lord. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses, there's a cleansing beside forgiveness. Everybody, please listen to this. There is a cleansing beside forgiveness. People just say, forgive, 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 forgive. Forgiveness is not enough. There must be a cleansing, because sins usually leave mark on our heart, on our inner subconsciousness. So that's what we call guilt. That's what the Bible says, forgive us our debt. So sin is a debt. And you need to clear the account. So the blood of Jesus is available to cleanse us. One of the reasons why people keep doing the same thing over and over and over again, they don't see the area of cleansing. They only see the area of forgiveness. Because if it's only just forgiveness, nothing practically changes in us. But as a cleansing, it's just like when somebody pour oil on you. Yeah, you forgive the person, but it has the clothes, your clothes has been stained. And that must be removed. And nothing can remove guilt like the blood of Jesus. Nothing. You know, you can't give excuse, you can't all that thing. So a lot of us, when we have some sense of guilt, something we remember that is tormented our mind, instead of just give excuse, promise God, all kinds of things like that, just it's time to just do it better. How do you do it better? Look at next verse. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. When something is coming up in your conscience and it's coming up again, particularly anytime you want to pray, this is how you know something is bugging your spirit, or bugging your conscience. Anytime you want to pray, it comes up. That's how you know that something's facing your conscience. Or you are in sort of danger, like now, you want to travel to a particular, what comes up in your spirit, this thing you have been doing. You know, that, so that's what happens. In time of danger, that will come up, that you are not settled with God. Or in time of God's presence, praying, it comes up. So, but if we say we have no sin, what do? We deceive ourselves. You know, sometimes something happens and I'm about to pray, comes to my mind, and I want to say, you know, it's not my fault because I was not I'm deceiving myself. And the truth is not finding a place in my heart. As a Christian, I must have truth in me. If I don't have truth in me, I won't last long. I will just be torn up. In fact, one of the major reasons for psychiatric disorder is that people don't want to accept the truth in them. They don't want to agree with that. That's why, have you noticed this? If you have a struggle with your wife or your husband, as long as you are having it, you don't feel all right. The moment you settle like this, something settled down in you. How many of you agree with me on that? If you don't, maybe you don't have any fight, but we do. So that just own up. Don't need to be arguing forever. Just I have this thing. I did this. Next verse. And if we confess, so number one, we must not be deceiving ourselves, saying that we have no sin. But second, if we confess our sins, it's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us. See, those two words. Number one, you see, the first one is that I must confess the sin. This is where the problem is. I must use my mouth to tell what the sin is. If I don't say that sin out of my mouth and acknowledge it, there is no way of deliverance for me, even if I seem to get forgiveness. You see, if I just lied, I just say, Lord, I'm sorry. That's not enough. He said, if we confess our sins, Lord, I just committed lying. I just lied. You see, by saying that out of your mouth, it's far better than just Lord, forgive me. That doesn't mean anything. So if we confess our sins, Lord, that just being selfish of me. That just being proudful of me. You know? Sometimes we display pride and nobody will notice, but we know in our heart. Say, Lord, that just being prideful. Lord, that's just sometimes envy that people can see. Just say, Lord, that's being envious. When I say those words out of my mouth, that's a power that actually accompanies confessing my sin. Now, it doesn't mean that I go to, like we do in our father's house, every time we want to eat, we confess our sins. Did we sin? Like one boy, you know, he was eating with his father, they eat, and the father prayed a particular prayer. So later, that young man became a Christian, got born again, started serving the Lord. So one day he was back in his father's house, and the father would just start praying. We're about to eat. Father, we thank you for our food. Forgive us our sins. And then he finished praying. Boy said, Daddy, did you sin before we started eating? He said, no, I didn't sin. He said, do you ask, forgive us our sins? Forgive us my sin, you know? He said, did I say that? It's become part and parcel for him. So, you know, just, Lord. And there'll be some turning up and kind of a thing. Just, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry about that. But I just lied. I just looked lustfully at that lady. You know, it's good to say that of your mouth. It goes a long way. Do you know why? We have in our system what we call excretion. Am I right? You know, I mean, you're going to have to purge out through urine and through physical waste. If you don't do that, it builds up something in your system. That's why kidney failure is terrible. Kidney failure actually doesn't want the waste to go out. And it's killing. So we must learn to just purge and say those things out. And you don't have to tell anybody. Except that your heart instructs you that you should. Maybe sometimes it's something that goes on that you have to apologize for. But don't go be announcing to everybody because people don't forget. God will forget, but people don't forget. So usually when it comes to somebody, partner, something like that, just cheated you, do. I'll give an example. See, things can come up before the Lord to actually stop us sometimes. For instance, you know, this man was looking for healing. And then the pastor was praying. And he kept on saying, what's this $5,000 coming up? What's this $5,000 coming up? Oh, the guy said, hold on. My brother and I were in business. My brother died, and I have to, according to his will, we transfer everything to his wife. But he said, I reserve one $5,000 that just in case. So he said, I know what to do. So he just left the healing line, went out, took his phone, called the wife. He said, hello, my sister-in-law. There's some money I need to transfer to you that was left for my brothers from the business. And just send me the account number. He transferred the money. Before coming back in, he was healed. Why? Why did God? His healing has already been perfected from the cross of Calvary, but it was delayed because there is a kind of a break in transmission. I hope I'm making some sense. So, but if you just confess it and do something need to be done about it, that's it. Now, pastor, if the woman is dead and the people are dead, what are you going to do? Just confess your sins and move on. Pastor, should I spend money if God allows you to spend the money? But if I were you, I'll give out that money and walk off so that I'll be free from the whole thing. I want to say, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And to cleanse us, forgive us, and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. One of the greatest ways you are going to make stride in your Christian life is applying these passages to yourself and to people. You see, you will never make a lot of progress in your Christian life if you don't learn to do this. Greatest of us make mistakes. Biggest of us sin. For instance, Peter, number one apostle, was eating with the Gentiles. When people from James came, he backed off and started discriminating. Anybody can. That's what you have to be very careful of. Please, I want to plead with you. Don't write yourself off when things go bad, when you make some mistake. And we do that easily. You do that so easily. Something just, I could have done that. I could have said that out of my mouth. You know, you're a human being. Huh? So just, Lord, that's stupid of me. That's just stupid of me. And Lord, just do that. Amen. I said amen. That's what God will help us. But nobody is beyond help. Finally, verse 10. And if we say that we have not sinned and we keep on denying it, we make him a liar. You're calling God a liar. And this word is not in us. So the word is that looks in its control in our hearts. So we need to let the word of God be in us for every area we need in life. I mean, something clear? Something clear? You know? Hallelujah. Praise God. As you get older, your sins, visible sin will be reducing and you'll be seeing more of the invisible sin that's in our lives. We start taking care of that. Praise the Lord. Can't just thank God for God who forgives all our iniquities. Let's appreciate God. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefit, who forgives all our iniquities, who heals all our sicknesses. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Can you open your eyes? I just had this in my spirit. Somebody said, you know, I confess the sin. I forgive. I told the person I'm sorry, and the person refused to forgive me. Don't worry about that. Leave that out. You can't do anything about that. You can't do anything about that. If they say, you know, I'll never forgive you. You settled with God. You told them you are sorry. If they say, you'll never forgive you, I will see that to my grave. That's his problem, not your own. Praise God. Don't try and do anything. I'm buying him a jet to convince him. Hallelujah. Oh, that means that we can do good next time to the person. Oh, but Lord, I don't want to say that this morning. But okay, when my wife was 30, when she was on a bad day, I did a particular evil that she felt so bad about. She said, well, today I'm 30 and you did me like this. So it became like a memorial. Are you hearing me? Pastor, what kind of deed did you do? I don't even remember now. But it was 30, when she was 30. And you know, the young man's sins. Are you So finally I went to her. I said, I'm sorry. Forgive me. She said, all right. It's all left over. On her 40th birthday, I did extra. You know, brother, spent money, spent no naira. Are you hearing me say that? It will obliterate my past. That's just between us. Hallelujah. So, you can use gift to appease your wife. If it's your wife, to say for me, you could die. Hallelujah. Okay, come and go to Dubai. And your wife says, say sorry first. I'm sorry. And you wake up. That's how we live our lives. Amen. Don't keep anything against your husband. Don't keep anything against your wife. It will actually affect you. Hallelujah. And that's your brother. That has to do with money. Just let it go. I got siblings that have to do with money, family money. I just let it go. Hello, nani. Hello. 100,000. So did not that last 1 year. So just leave it alone. Property distribution, things like that. Just don't hold anything against anybody. There's always 1% of the family that want to take everything. Is that happen in your family too? That somebody that want to take everything and exclude everybody else. So just mind your business. Praise God. Hallelujah. God is good. Oh, let's just thank him one more time. Let's appreciate him. We just follow the Spirit of God this morning. Just helping us to get things done in our lives. Amen. Our Father, we thank you. We just want to share some few words. Help us by your Spirit to grasp, to understand, and to live by it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, you wonder what I'm doing. My wife used to do the Sunday school this morning, and Professor Dis will do the prayer of agreement, but they've all gone to Babcock. Today's the graduation of my daughter and Professor Ade's son. And so they had to go. Pastor, why didn't you go? I went for an induction on Monday as a medical lab scientist. So I was there. Was it Monday? Yeah, it was Monday. So I was there and she was wearing graduation thing and gone. You know, so she took her oath. And I know that if I go on Monday, I won't go on Sunday. And just imagine, I'm not sure whether Prof will be around. It's the VC. They can call him at any time. So I have to be around this morning. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Last week, I talked about good works. And I want to get practical this morning. How do you... Let's go to Titus 2 quickly. Verse 14. Let's just talk about some practical things this morning that we need to do to spend our life on, you know. Somebody said, I do hands, devil's workshop. Am I right? If you're not doing anything for God, you have time to go and be watching TV. Remember, David was not going to war. When it's time for war, he was lying on the top of the building in his penthouse. You know, he was in his penthouse, started looking around, found Bathsheba. If he had been at war, that wouldn't have happened. Do you know that the Uriah, is that his name? Uriah. Is that his name? Husband of Bathsheba. When he came, David sent for her, or for him to come so that he could sleep with his wife and transfer the pregnancy to him. To him. But when he came home, he was so conscious of fighting for Israel and doing the work of the kingdom, extending the territory of Israel, that when he